This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of old-time radio brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. We'll hear first this week from Arch Obler's Plays. Their episode from November 28, 1964, titled African Story, then it's Believe It or Not with Bloody Oath. We'll finish off with the NBC University Theater and The Short Happy Life of Francis McComber, their episode from November 21, 1948.
And now, lights out. Arch Obler's Plays. Stories of the unusual.
This is Arch Obler. Hollywood, as you know, has given us a very peculiar picture of Africa with ape men leaping from trees and me, Tarzan, you, Jane. Now, I spent a year in Africa and never met Jane. But I did meet a deadly safari, which begins after a short message.
And now, Arch Obler's mystery play, African Story. A transoceanic airplane prepares to land on an East African airfield.
We'll be coming in a moment, Sir Jeffrey.
Would you mind fastening your safety belt, please, sir?
No, not at all.
Ah, Nairobi, dead ahead. Quite a sight, isn't it, sir?
Yes, it is.
I've flown this route 100 times, yet each time I find it hard to believe. A city like this in Africa.
And yet the jungle is always there.
The jungle is always there, right. Well, we've had lions walk right across the runway. You know, Sir Jeffrey, I envy you this. That is to say, your first trip to Africa. Are you going to do any shooting?
Shooting? Yes. Yes, I am.
Jeffrey.
Oh, thank you.
Indove.
Nataka Banduki la Bwana Makuba. Apesi.
The governor sends his sincere apologies. He hasn't been able to leave the government house for over a week. Touch gout, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, it's really nothing very serious. Oh, look at that idiot dragging your cases.
Indove. Sasi, sasi.
These kikuyus. They've no conception of value.
Right, all right. I beg your pardon, Sir Jeffrey. I'm Babton of the Nairobi Times. Could you...
Now, Babton, don't bother Sir Jeffrey. He's just arrived. He's very tired. Right in here, Sir Jeffrey. A few customs formalities.
Now, look here, Major. You seem to have some idea that the press is...
It is not my idea. It's the governor's. He said that Sir Jeffrey was not to be disturbed until he had a chance to rest up in Government House. Now, be a good chap and drop around there tomorrow. No, the door to the right, Sir Jeffrey. These customs officials of ours won't keep you long.
Welcome to Africa, Sir Jeffrey.
Oh, thank you.
My assistant will examine your luggage if you don't mind.
I have the declaration of contents right here.
Oh, thank you, sir. How is the weather in London, Sir Jeffrey?
Get on with it, man. The governor's waiting.
No, the usual weather. Fog and a bit of rain, if I remember correctly.
Just fill in this form. Your first trip to Africa, I believe.
Yes, yes, it's Sir Geoffrey's first visit. Now, please get on with it, ma'am. The governor's waiting lunch.
Now, really, Major Osgood, I'm only doing my duty as the officially constituted officer.
All right, but just get on with it. I'm awfully sorry, Sir Geoffrey.
Oh, that's quite all right. What else would you like to know?
Your reason for your visit. As a bit of a vacation, I suppose?
No, not exactly. I'm here to commit an act of murder.
For heaven's sake, man, don't gape so, Mr. Sturgis. Don't you understand, Sir Geoffrey means that he's going out hunting. Isn't that so, Sir Geoffrey?
Yes. I suppose you could call it hunting.
Oh, get out, Grant. It's quite a party the governor's governor has here, but what's the matter with the guest of honor, Sir Jeffrey? He looks as if he's carrying the weight of the world.
No, please get it straight, my dear. He's a conservative member from Bromwich. He's absolutely nothing to do with the Labour Party, so don't blame him for anything.
A man of the job, the governor certainly is spry tonight, dancing in tennis to Sir Jeffrey. Shall we dance, my dear?
I must say, Sir Jeffrey, that you do amaze me, really you do.
Why is that, governor?
Well, you've been here less than 24 hours, and you act about as impatient as an American businessman on a holiday.
Well, I appreciate your hospitality, governor, but you see, I came to Africa for a very definite purpose.
Yes, I know. The animal. They've been here for centuries. They'll wait another day or two. Oh, I say, you must meet this young woman. Diane, my dear.
Good evening, Governor. I'm sorry I'm late, but I had a bit of trouble on the road.
Well, it's quite all right, my dear. The food, as usual, is quite abominable. Diane, I want you to meet our guest of honor. Diane Margaret, Sir Jeffrey Curry.
So, how do you do?
Welcome to Cambridge, Sir Jeffrey. I've read a great deal about you.
Very kind.
Well, now, I'll leave you two young people to flatter each other. In the midst of all the flattery, Diane, I wish you'd talk our illustrious guest out of rushing out on safari.
Elephant or lion, Sir Jeffrey?
Well, whatever it is, he's certainly in a hurry to get it. If you insist on going, Sir Jeffrey, I insist on sending Mrs. Margaret along with you. She's one of the finest shots in all Africa. Now you listen to her. I'll leave you to get at it.
Can you tell me while we dance, Mrs. Margaret?
Might I ask where you intend to do your hunting?
Oh, I think around Magado's way.
Really? It's on my way back home.
Home?
Yes. I'm one of those senior Highlanders. I have a Parisian farm.
Oh, and your husband, is he there now?
No, he died a few years ago, Blackwater fever.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I've carried it on. I don't understand one thing. Why have you chosen Magado's? And there's very little game left around there. A few leopards and an odd lion, but nothing really important. Why Magado's of all places?
I'm not going there to kill animals.
No? Photography then?
No. I'm going to Magado's to kill a man.
Are you making a joke?
A joke.
I say there's a difference. I was just talking to Dr. Newton, and he told me I'm perfectly fit again. Do you realize what that means? I can go with you on this desperate safari of doubt. No, it's no trouble at all. I insist on going as an official duty. And you too, Mrs. Margaret, you must come with us. Please say you will.
Yes, I'd like to very much. This isn't a very good role, but that's a delightful story.
My dear, you're the one who's being delightful. You must have heard that at least 20 times.
Oh, no.
But I must say that I don't think that the man who it was intended for heard it at all. Did you, Sir Jeffrey?
I beg your pardon. Were you talking to me, Governor?
No, not at all. But look here, you keep looking around as if this were the most fascinating scenery in all Africa. Thorn bush and scrub trees. What is it you find so fascinating?
That clump of trees ahead. Could we stop there, please?
Stop? Why?
Make camp.
Camp? Here?
But, Sir Jeffrey, we're miles from the real animal
I'd
country.
I'd appreciate it if we could stop here.
Well, if you insist. Ngoja hape, Sally. Oh, now I understand. Getting a little car weary, eh? Of course. Well, my stretching my legs a bit. May I help you, Diane?
Thank you.
Major Osgood and the truck should be along. Well, I say, Sir Jeffrey, welcoming committee coming across the field. The Digo natives with a few Maasai. They're coming to welcome the great Bwanas. Yawatu Shawari Gana.
Bwana Makuba. Mimi, the Sojui and the Bwana Kowi.
Well, by George, Sir Jeffrey. Pity you can't understand their language. Do you know what this old rascal of a native chief just said? Did you hear him, Mrs. Margaret?
I don't understand that, Swahili. What did he say?
The old boy's trying to give the impression he knows Sir Jeffrey.
And they're Well, now the old fraud's really for it. He's addressing you, Sir Geoffrey.
Yes?
He says at last you've come back to kill the man.
Well, why didn't Gomer they're putting on for you, Sir Geoffrey?
Yes.
Where did you die? Liverpool dance of this sort, jumping round, drums, if they don't appear very happy.
Do you think so?
Come away. I want to leave now, please.
Oh, but I say, we're the guests of honor. We just can't.
Exactly.
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, I'm sorry, Diane. I simply must stay here for a while. Major.
Yes, Governor, you call?
You'd better escort Mrs. Margaret and Sir Geoffrey back to camp. Have you got your torches?
Yes, sir.
Moonlight, very dark. Would you take my arm, Sir Geoffrey?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, of course. Here's the part.
I'll be along a little while.
All right, Governor.
Would you like to hold a torch, Sir Geoffrey?
No, thank you. I can see very well.
Well, that's our campfire up ahead.
Yes.
How strange the night is.
You say strange, Mrs. Margaret?
I don't see anything strange.
The moonlight, everything is sort of fluorescent. Don't you agree, Sir Geoffrey?
Yes. The same sort of night.
Same sort of night as what, Sir Geoffrey? Piccadilly Circus. Will you forgive me for saying so, but not a moon like that. That's Africa's own.
Yes, I know.
There's the camp over the rise. Now, do you mind if I leave you here and check the trunk?
No, not at all. I'll see Mrs. Margaret to camp.
All right, sir. Not much danger on these plains. The leopards don't like it, and the lions don't like the native music. And anyway, you have a gun.
Yes, I have a gun.
Well, I'll see you back in camp.
Sir Geoffrey.
Yes?
The natives know you, don't they?
It's suddenly so dark.
The way they looked at you, they were afraid. I know. Where are we going?
Beyond the rise, there's a water hole where the animals come.
Yes, sir. You have been here before.
The dance is over.
Have you been here before?
What time is it? Your watch has a luminous dial.
It's almost 10. Geoffrey, tell me. I'm strangely frightened. Why have you come here? Your eyes keep turning. Whom are you looking for? Geoffrey, please tell me.
Soon he'll be here.
He? Whom are you talking about?
The man I'm going to kill.
The man you're going to kill? You said that before, that night at Government House. I thought you were joking. Somehow I don't anymore.
He'll come over the rise, and he'll stand there where the water's darkest, and I'll kill him.
Geoffrey, please tell me.
Tell you? Yes. I was here before. 10 years ago tonight. With her.
Her?
Deborah. I'll tell you of her.
Deborah Cowie. I like my new name, Jeff.
We were on our honeymoon. I'd loved her for a very long time. And at last she said she loved me. We'd married.
A married woman, me. I think I like that.
She was very, very young. I was too. That was part of our coming here to Africa.
Let's go far away for our honeymoon, Jeff. Someplace weird, romantic, exciting. I mean, as far away as Africa.
We came here, and when we got here, he was here. Debbie didn't know him, nor did I, but he joined us on our first hunt.
I guess I'm finding out I'm just a savage, Jeff. I want to hunt those beasts. Rhino, lion. Let's hunt a lion first, Jeff.
It was the way I said. He joined us then, and he didn't leave us. A great hunter, he said he was, but I quickly knew him for what he was. A cheat, a liar, a fumbling coward.
Hunt the lion at this water hole at night. How thrilling, Jeff.
I should have driven him out, broken camp and taken Debbie and gone away quickly, quickly. I didn't speak. I stayed.
and he with us.
No, no gun for me. I'll just be the excited spectator. That's quite enough for me.
And little Deborah didn't see him as he was. She listened to him. Believed his quick tongue, trusted him.
Jeff, of course we'll do it. Why shouldn't we? What a thing to remember when we're very old.
And so on a night like this, she and I and he waited here by the waterhole. The native chief said the lion would come, and so we waited.
Oh, Jeff, I'll never forget this night.
My bride. Her face so young, so vibrant in the moonlight. And he and I. We waited. The air was still as if the night were waiting too. For a long time, nothing. She and I and he. Waiting. And then...
I think I hear something, Jeff.
Yes, I heard it too. Soft, slow, pad, great paws moving slowly, slowly.
Jeff, it's coming.
She and I and he. And the lion.
Toward us.
Closer and closer.
Oh, Jeff.
And then, suddenly, behind the cloud, the moon was gone.
Jeff,
she said. Jeff. A little breath. I heard her. And I was lost. For it was coming. The lion. Swift as death. Shoot. 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 He didn't shoot. He ran. He dropped his gun and ran, and he left her. He left her to the lion.
Dear God.
Oh, please go back to Canada.
No. No, there's so much I want to know. Why did you wait so long to come back? And why do you think you'll come here again tonight? Tell me.
Tell. I was very ill after it happened. They sent me back home. When I was well again, I thought I could forget. I worked. Years went quickly, but never once, not for a breath, have I forgotten him. Year after year, my hatred for him, don't you understand? I have to kill him. You ask me how I know he'll be here? I know. And the native chief knows.
I see. The Maasai chief, you gave him money to bring him here tonight. Oh, no, Jeffrey, no. You can't do this thing. 10 years ago, you said, 10 years, and look what you've become. A man all England knows and honors. If you commit this murder now... Oh, Jeffrey, please don't do it. Look at me, please. Don't turn your head away. Listen to me, listen to me. What this man did, I know it was a terrible thing, but... All these years that you've let it pass, it's part of another world. A part of your life that doesn't exist anymore. Sir Geoffrey Cowie can't commit a murder. Now tell me you won't.
It was the wind. Only a little wind. The way it was that night.
I don't know what I do. I never saw you before a few days ago. I suppose I'm crying because you're like my Davy. I didn't want to come to Africa, but his mind was made up, like yours. When he got sick, that one time there was a chance if he'd give up all we worked for. He didn't. He stayed like you're staying. And he died. Lion?
Yes.
Lion here? They were supposed to have been all shot out years ago. Jeffrey, your face. The way... Is it a signal? That's it, isn't it? The native chief to tell you that he's coming. Jeffrey, who is he? Which of the planters around here will expose him, ruin him? You don't have to kill.
Turn your back and go.
Oh, dear God, what a useless thing. She's been dead so long. Is that someone coming?
I can't make you go. Then turn your back.
If I could cry out and warn him. The moon, it's gone. Jeffrey? Jeffrey, where are you? Jeffrey, don't!
Major!
Yes, Governor?
Mrs. Margaret, can she speak yet? Can she talk?
Yes. Yes, she says she wants to see you.
Good, good. All right, one time. Let me through. Oh, Major, get these infernal natives away from here so I can get through.
When are you after?
This thing going out of my head. Diane, are you all right now?
Yes.
Then tell me. Please tell me what happened. Sir Geoffrey. Tell me what happened.
Yes, I'll tell you. Sir Geoffrey came back to Africa to kill a man. A man, he said, who was a cheat, a liar, a fumbling coward. Tonight he killed him. That man was himself.
Arch Obler again. First, might I thank our players, Loreen Tuttle and Ben Wright. You know, someone once challenged me, is it possible to get an exciting play out of a worm? Let me tell you about worms after a short message. Obler again. Before I tell you about my wormy play, the sound tonight was by Bud Tollefson, engineer Dave Diller, music Joe Leahy, announcer Byron Keane. Yes, I've written a play about worms called Revolt of the Worms. And if you like terror and excitement mixed with a pinch of idea content, meet me at these same kilocycles for The Revolt of the Worms.
Arch Obler's plays. Stories of the Unusual. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not.
A second-hand statue of Lord Byron was purchased in London and erected in Ecuador, honoring a different poet named Olmedo, because to build an original would have cost too much. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about a bloody oath. Ling Wen called his Chinese emperor, Yang Lo, a traitor to his face, and was sentenced to have his head cut off. But people counseled the accused to beg mercy of the emperor so that he might live. However, Ling Wen refused, saying he'd call the emperor a traitor even after he died, which is exactly what happened. For as the blood dripped on the sand from the severed neck of Ling Wen, it formed the Chinese character for the word traitor, believe it or not.
This is the NBC University Theater, presenting the ninth in our series of radio plays based on outstanding works by modern American and British authors. Today, the Ernest Hemingway story, The Short Happy Life of Francis Macomber, starring Preston Foster as Macomber. Nairobi is a small African town, but it straddles the railroad junction, and the brown waters of a river cut through the valley. The red, white, and blue of the British Jack droops from the tall staff of the government house, for Nairobi is the capital of the Kenya colony. And the British administrators can be seen sweating over long reports of taxes and imports as the lazy turning fans move the scorching air from one part of the room to the other. The European houses perch up on the hills under carefully nurtured trees, the verandas open to the prevailing winds, and the hum of refrigerating units is heard in the richer quarter. But down in the town, in the white dazzling oven of the marketplace, the 30,000 folk of Nairobi buy and sell and live. Tall tribesmen, black and glistening, in from the plains and the short bush, stand gazing at the white buildings and at the red-faced Europeans who hug the thin line of shade around the square. The marketplace swarms, like the tall clay castles the white ants build on the African plains. Arab traders, white-robed and bearded, haggle with the tribesmen and with the starched and pressed servants of the European households. The native driver of the big open car leaned heavily on his horn, but the crowd spilled out into the street and the car only inched forward. In the back seat, Francis Macomber leaned back, trying to spread the shadow from his broad-brimmed Stetson hat over his entire body, while his wife, brittle, beautiful, and extremely irritated, turned to him sharply.
For heaven's sake, Francis, must he blow that horn? My head's splitting.
Nothing I can do, Margot. We just can't get through.
Why can't they do anything? Why can't they clear the street? Francis, if you don't have him stop that horn, I'll...
Here, boy. Stop the horn here. The horn.
Yes, sir. The horn.
No. Stop it. Stop.
Yes, sir.
There, it's clear now. Go on.
I'm hot. I said I'm hot.
I realize that. It's generally hot in Africa. That's one of the peculiarities of the African climate, heat.
I'm not up to your patter today, Francis, please.
Why didn't you stay at the hotel? I'm only going to hire the white hunter for the trip.
It's hot there, too. Besides, I wanted to see you hiring a safari. I've never seen anybody hire a safari before.
Are you starting again?
I've seen you go off duck hunting and motorcycling and sailboating and tennis and squash rackets.
Margot.
But I wouldn't miss the big game hunt for anything. Romance of the safari. Hunting old Simba the lion. Kembo the elephant.
All right.
Why do they stare so, Francis? Haven't they ever seen a woman before?
You may be a little faded for New York. I'll get another offer to sign a complexion soap testimonial.
Thank you, darling.
There, we're clear. Hurry up now, boy.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a breeze anyway.
I wish I hadn't come.
On the ride?
To Africa.
That would have been meat for the colonists. One of them had us on the verge just before we sailed.
I didn't see it.
He's had us heading for Reno 3 times before.
He was right each time.
You can't leave me, Margot. You've missed your chance. I've got too much money to let go, and you've faded just enough to take you off the market.
You're sweet, dear.
I try.
And I shan't worry about you either, darling. You're not quite good enough with women to replace me. We're what they call a happily married couple.
Oh, look, Margot, why don't we stop?
Stop what?
We agreed we'd forget about all that, didn't we? That's why we came, isn't it?
I suppose so. All right, Francis.
You can take up and begin again. You promised.
I know, I know. I promised. I meant it. Oh, it's hot.
Organizing a safari isn't quite my line, Mr. Wilson. I'll leave everything to you.
Right. Quite the usual thing.
Then it's settled?
It's settled. I'll supply the whole outfit, the cook, gun bearers, porters, and the rest, all for one price.
Now, see here, I'll be wanting the best, the complete hunter, you know. Pay anything to knock over a few good lions.
I think you'll find my arrangements adequate.
Well, if you'll be needing more money...
What? The usual price.
Just so I get my lions.
When you go out with me, Mr. McCumber, I promise you. That shall be a matter solely between the lions and yourself.
Well, good. Perfect. Have you been a professional hunter all your life, Mr. Wilson?
Most.
Must be quite exciting. Do you like it?
It pays.
Enough?
What's enough?
Oh, you know, I mean, does it give a man everything he needs?
Food, whiskey. If a man needs more to live by, it gives him that, too. I'm free.
The mighty hunter, eh? Sufficient unto himself. I'd say you are rather to be envied, Mr. Wilson.
Well, if that's all, Mr. McCumber.
Another drink first. At least they're cold.
Well,
Here, boy, three more.
Do you enjoy hiring out as nursemaid to amateur big game hunters, Mr. Wilson?
Here, Margot.
I don't mind, Mrs. McCumber. I've got certain ideas about what's sporting. You'll live up to them or you'll hire another hunter.
Oh, like rules of the chase, fox hunting and all that.
Sort of. And I like the animals. I rather admire them.
Ah, the drinks. Well, Wilson, to a successful hunt, eh?
I'll drink to that.
Don't leave me out. Good hunting, eh? Just like Kipling.
Well, as to the hunting. Good shot. Hit him fair in the chest.
What are they?
Eland, sort of antelope.
It was a good shot, wasn't it? I mean, I'm surprised I hit him at all.
Well, you shouldn't be. You've got a fine eye and a steady hand, Macumba. That's all that's wanted. Hi, Congoni!
Envia buona!
Get two of the boys over there and keep the birds off. Jump!
Envia buona! Ingosi! Inteki!
See those birds there? They can strip a carcass before you can wing an eye.
They seem to be there before I shot. How can they tell?
I don't know, but they do. Nothing to the ants, though. Leave a dead animal out here on these plains, you'll have clean bones before the sun's down. I've seen it happen.
Not a very cheerful thought, is it?
Not a very cheerful country. Well, you're off back to camp, shall we? We're moving out tomorrow after lion. Boys spotted one somewhere about here.
Lion?
Yeah, we'll be starting early. You'd best get your sleep tonight.
What's that? A lion? Margot. Listen.
What? Oh, go to sleep, Francis.
Sleep? Don't you hear it? I never dreamed they sounded like that. It's not a lion, not an animal. It's a force, Margot. That's something to destroy. Killing that isn't hunting. It's more. It's... Margot!
What is it, Francis?
That lion.
Magnificent, isn't it? No, go to sleep, Francis.
Sleep? With that crashing in my ears?
Hmm?
Never mind, nothing. It's a devil of a thing to wake a man up with.
Sounds like an old timer. Listen to those grunts.
He scared the devil out of me last night.
Oh, it's a usual thing. Man's first contact with a beast like that is usually startling.
Well, we'll see how startling the king of the jungle looks through a pair of rifle sights.
There's an old Somali proverb that says a brave man is frightened three times by a lion, when he first sees his track, when he first hears him roar, and when he first confronts
him. Well, I don't know about the brave man, but I was scared blue.
You're probably more thrilled than frightened.
Is he very close?
He's close enough. He's probably a mile or so upstream.
We'll see him, won't we? We'll get a chance to have a shot at him.
Well, we'll have a good look for him. More coffee? Sergeant, if you were right in camp, building it.
Yes, I was wondering about that. I expected to see him wander through my tent flaps any minute.
Roaring carries a long way. It's strange that way, you know. I hope he's a shootable cat.
Shootable?
Got game laws. Size and age and all that sort of thing. Boy said there's a very big one around here, though.
If I get a shot, where would I hit him to stop him?
Oh, in the shoulders. In the neck, if you can make it. Shoot for bone.
Bone?
Yeah. Break him down.
I hope I can place it properly.
You shoot very well, Macomba. Now, take your time. Make sure of him. It's the first one in that counts.
Mm-hmm. Well, what range will it be?
You can't tell. The line has something to say about that.
Yeah, I suppose so.
But don't shoot unless it's close enough so you can make sure.
At under 100 yards?
100. About right. We might have to take him a bit under. You shouldn't chance a shot at much over there.
I see. 100 yards.
Yeah, it's a decent range. You can hit him wherever you want to.
Good
that
morning,
range.
Miss.
Oh, good morning, Ma'am Sarge. Good morning.
Good morning, Francis.
Morning.
Are we going after that lion?
As soon as you deal with your breakfast. How are you feeling?
Marvelous. I'm very excited.
Well, I better see that everything's ready. He's a noisy beggar. We'll put a stop to him.
What's the matter, Francis?
Nothing. Nothing's the matter.
Yes, there is. What are you upset about?
Nothing.
Not feeling well?
Oh, it's that blasted roaring. It's been going on all night.
Oh, that.
Didn't you hear it?
I heard you, like a little boy in the dark.
I've got to kill that blasted thing.
Well, that's what we're out here for, isn't it?
Yes, yes, but I'm nervous. Hearing that thing roar gets on my nerves.
Well, then, as Wilson said, kill him and stop his roaring.
Yes, darling. Sounds easy, doesn't it?
You're not afraid, are you?
Oh, of course not, but I'm nervous.
You'll kill him marvelously. I know you will. I'm anxious to see it.
Finish your breakfast and we'll be starting. I hate that blasted noise.
It's very impressive.
Impressive? It's awful.
Well, come on now. We're all ready. Your gun bearer has your Springfield and the big gun.
Oh, now?
Yeah, everything's in the car. I've got your solid bullets handy?
Yes.
Well, I'm all ready.
Just make him stop that racket. Oh, ma'am, you get in front and, you go right back with me.
Swooping down.
It means the old boy's left his kill. Chances I come to drink along here. Keep an eye out.
In the shoulder, eh? The neck or the shoulder?
Driver, stop.
What's wrong?
There he is. Look, look. Head him to the right. Oh, he's a marvelous lad. Get out and take him.
How far is he?
About 75 yards. Get out of the car.
Well, why not shoot from where I am?
Don't shoot him from cars. Get out. He's not going to stay all day. Go on, go ahead.
I see. Oh, blast it, the safety's still on.
Careful, careful now. Steady now.
All right.
You got him low. Again, again. Miss, kicked up the dirt. Hurry up, man, he's heading for cover. And got him. He's gone into the grass. Congori, Abdullah, could you hover?
I hit him. I hit him twice.
Oh, you gut shot him. Hit him somewhere forward. May have killed him. We'll have to wait a while before we go into the high grass to find out.
What do you mean?
Let him get sick before we follow him up. Oh, he's a bloody fine lion. I'm in a bad place, son.
Why is it bad?
Well, there's high grass there. You can't see him until you're on him.
Oh.
Well, what's up now?
Come on. All right, Memsard can stay here in the car. We go to have a look at that blood spoor.
Stay here, Margot.
Why?
Wilson says to.
You'd better stay in the car. You can see even better from here. Well, Macomba, shall we go?
What do we do?
Not much choice. Can't bring the car over. We let him stiffen up a bit, and then you and I'll go in and have a look at him.
Oh, well, can't we set the grass on fire?
Too green.
Can't we send beaters?
Of course we can, but it's just a bit murderous. You see, we know the lion's wounded.
Well, why not beaters?
You can drive an unwounded lion, man, and he'll move on ahead of a noise, but a wounded lion's going to charge.
Oh.
Can't see him to right on him. You make himself perfectly flat in cover, you wouldn't think would hide a rabbit. Can't very well send boys into that sort of a show. Somebody's bound to get mauled.
Oh, what about the gun bearers?
Huh. They'll go with us. It's their job. Don't look too happy, though, do they?
I don't want to go in there.
Neither do I. Really, no choice. You don't have to go in. That's what I am hired for, you know. That's why I'm so expensive.
You mean you'd go in by yourself? Why not leave him there?
What do you mean?
Just leave him.
You mean pretend he hasn't been hit?
No, just drop it.
And done.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, he's certain to be suffering, and for another, someone else might run onto him.
I see.
But you don't have to have anything to do with it.
Well, I'd like to. I'm just scared, you know.
Well, I'll go ahead when we go in with Congoni here tracking. You keep behind me, and just a little to one side.
Right, behind him, to one side.
Chances are we'll hear him growl. If we see him, we both shoot.
I see.
I'm a combat. Don't worry about anything. I'll keep you backed up. Well, as a matter of fact, perhaps you'd better not go. Yes, might be much better. Look, why don't you go over and join the Memsov while I get it over with?
No, I want to go.
All right. But don't go in if you don't want to. It's my job, you know.
I want to go.
All right, come on. Behind me and about 5 yards to the right. Congoni?
Dio buona.
Wait a minute, I want to drink of water. All right.
All right. Let's go. It's hard to say. Well, there's more to hunting than just killing. I mean that lion, standing there across the stream. There wasn't any smell of blood to him. So there he just stood there, moving his head from side to side. And then the slam of the .30-06 solid bullet hits him and rips across his stomach in sudden, hot, scalding nausea. And then off he goes, wounded, into the high grass. And there he lies, flat on the ground, his ears back, and the only movement, the twitching of the black tip of his tail. He's sick, and his big yellow eyes look straight ahead, narrowed with hate, sickness, and pain when he breathes. And all of him, hate, sickness, and his remaining strength tightening into concentration for a rush. Careful. Careful now.
Blood now, Buona. This way.
Safety off, Makamba. Watch that grass. Here he comes.
Ah!
Makamba, shoot! Shoot, man. With him. Oh.
Big Buona run away, huh? He run away fast.
Shut up.
And Dio Buona.
Get the boys and start skinning, will you?
And Dio Buona, but Big Buona, he did run. He run like buck.
That'll be enough, you hear? I'll lay you out alongside the lawn, you understand?
And Dio Buona, I understand. I understand, Buona.
Wilson, is he dead?
Yes, he's dead.
What happened?
Shot through the head, that stopped him.
You shot him, didn't you?
Evidently.
I don't know what happened to me. One second I was facing him, the next I wasn't there anymore.
You want to take pictures?
Pictures?
It's the usual thing.
No, pictures. This hasn't been quite the usual thing.
He's a bloody fine lion. The boys will skin him out. We might as well get back to the car.
I suppose so. Hey, Wilson?
Well?
Nothing. Let's get back.
You were right, Mr. Wilson. I could see much better from where I was. Much better. I could see everything perfectly clearly. Crystal clear.
That's fine, Mrs. McComber.
Was it a very old lion, Mr. Wilson?
About prime.
Did you hear that, Francis? You got a prime lion.
All right, Margot, all right. What are we waiting for, Wilson?
The skin. Boys are skinning it out.
Oh.
We can't go without your lion skin, Francis, can we? Mr. Wilson wouldn't think it proper. Mr. Robert Wilson, a beautiful red face. Mr. Robert Wilson.
I say,
Mr. Wilson, I think I shall celebrate Francis's lion by kissing you.
Margot.
There. The hunter saluted in the primitive style.
I think the boys have taken the skin off. They're bringing it over. Yes, he was a fine lion. A bloody fine lion.
They're the hardest in the world, the American women. The hardest, the cruelest, the most predatory, and the most attractive. And their men have softened or gone to pieces nervously as they have hardened. Or perhaps they only pick men they can handle. Well, I don't suppose they know that much. They marry so young. I run across them before. They're the most devilish women. Devilish.
We got lunch almost ready. Should we go over?
Right. Something to drink first, lime juice and something.
Oh, a drink? I'll have one, too. I need something.
Unanimity at last. Have the mess boy make them up, will you, Wilson?
You started already.
I suppose it's about time to tip the men, huh?
It is customary.
What do I give them? Chances are I'll make it too much or too little. It'd be trouble both ways, I expect.
Yes, it would.
Well?
Oh, a quid would be plenty. You don't want to spoil them.
Will the head man distribute it?
Absolutely. He's the foreman, you know.
Drink one up.
They're cold, aren't they?
Well, you've got your lion, and a fine one, too.
He is a good lion, isn't he?
A fine lion. You had quite a celebration on the way in. I mean, being carried about on the cook's and porter's shoulders. Did you feel heroic, Francis?
It's the usual custom when you bag a lion. You can't help it, you know. They just will celebrate.
An excellent idea. We must all celebrate.
Well, here's to the lion.
Here's to the lion.
You know, Wilson, I can't ever thank you for what you did.
Let's not talk about the lion. It's been a very strange day.
I suppose so.
Hadn't you ought to put your hat on even under the canvas at noon, Mr. Wilson? You told me that, you know.
I might put it on.
You know, you have a very red face, Mr. Wilson.
Drink.
I don't think so. Francis drinks a great deal, but his face is never red.
Well, it's red today.
No, it's mine that's red today. But Mr. Wilson's is always red.
I say, you wouldn't like to drop my beauty as a topic, would you?
I've just started on it.
Oh, let's chuck it, shall we?
Conversation's going to be so difficult. The lion will come up, you know.
Don't be silly, Margot.
No difficulty. Not a fine lion.
That lion.
Margot.
I wish it hadn't happened. Oh, I wish it hadn't happened.
Women upset. Monster.
I don't know.
Oh, strain on the nerves, one thing and another. You know.
No, I suppose that I rate that for the rest of my life.
Oh, nonsense. Let's fill him up again. Forget the whole thing. There's nothing to it anyway.
We might try.
Tongani!
I won't forget what you did for me, though.
Nothing all nonsense. Congoni!
Dio buona.
Give me more drinks and stronger.
Dio buona. Strong. Very strong drink for big buona.
Be off now. Jump while away with Nataka.
Dio buona.
What were you telling him?
Nothing. Told him to look alive where I'd see he got about 15 of the best.
What's that? Lashes?
Yeah, it's quite illegal. You're supposed to fine them.
You still have them whipped?
Yeah. They could raise a row if they chose to complain.
They don't.
No, they prefer it to fines.
Oh, strange.
No, it's not strange, really.
No?
Well, which would you rather do? Take a good birching or lose your pay? I mean, we all take a beating every day, you know, one way or the other. How much of a diplomat am I?
Yes, we take a beating.
Drink one up.
I'm awfully sorry about that lion business.
Nothing. Forget it.
It doesn't have to go any further, does it? I mean, no one will hear about it now, will they?
You mean, will I tell it at the Mathega Club? You are American, aren't you?
I'm sorry.
No. I'm a professional hunter. We never talk about our clients. You can be quite easy about that.
Oh.
It's supposed to be bad form to ask us not to talk, though. Can't get along together very well after this, I'm afraid.
Might even be best if we...
Look, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. There are lots of things I don't know.
Now, don't worry about me talking. I have a living to make.
I am sorry.
You know, in Africa, no woman ever misses a line, and no white man ever bolts.
That's rather brutal of you, isn't it?
Well, that's the way things are here.
I bolted like a rabbit.
Rather an odd person in the combat. I have been rather beastly. You know, it's I that should apologize.
Maybe I can fix it up on Buffalo. You know, make a better showing. We are after Buffalo next, aren't we?
In the morning, if you like. That's the stuff.
It was pretty bad this morning, wasn't it?
Anyone might do it. I wouldn't take it so hard, you know.
Well, I suppose it's time for lunch.
Shall I call Mem Saab?
I suppose so.
Maybe she won't want any lunch. She's all upset.
She'll be all right. Margot always recovers.
If you say so.
Wilson.
Hmm?
I can make it up on the Buffalo. Now, can I? This morning, I mean, I well, never mind. Come on, let's have lunch.
From Hollywood, the NBC University Theater is presenting Preston Foster in our adaptation of the Ernest Hemingway story, The Short Happy Life of Francis McComber, the ninth in this series of dramatizations of outstanding works by modern British and American authors. Information on how to obtain free materials on the authors and books presented in this series will be given at the close of the program. Our intermission commentator today is the distinguished author and lecturer, Dr. Harvey C. Webster of the University of Louisville, where these productions are currently being used in conjunction with his course on Anglo-American fiction. We present Dr. Webster speaking to you from Louisville.
As you will see before you have finished listening to Francis McComber's Short and Happy Life, as perhaps you have seen already, as you will see with increasing clarity if you read the work of Ernest Hemingway, death, the expense of life, is also the source of life's values. Is there any point to living well today when you can put off living well for an endless succession of tomorrows? Can you live any today well if you do not face the fact that death might be necessary tomorrow? Perhaps these are perpetual questions. Certainly these are questions that we, the insecure survivors of two wars, at least dimly ask. Certainly these are questions that Ernest Hemingway continues to ask and to answer. Throughout his life, Hemingway has pursued death. He met it first, one guesses from one of his short stories, in an Indian camp at the side of his doctor father. He met it often during the First World War and began then to see death as the central fact in our time, if not in any time. Even in the interval between wars, some have called peace, Hemingway continued his pursuit of death. Death in the afternoon, in the bullfights in Spain. Death on the green hills of Africa. Death in Spain during the Civil War, when the bell tolled for us and we did not hear it. Death all over Europe during the Second World War, we hope is over. It is in all of his books. All his men and women fear and pursue and are pursued, and the best of them become brave. Jake and Brett, Henry and Catherine, Nick, Harry Morgan, Jordan and Maria, Anselmo and Pilar. All of their lives are defined by their relation to death. The source of Hemingway's great art is an obsession with fear and with bravery. Morbid, you say? If it is, Hemingway did not invent either death or its pursuit, nor can you wish it out of existence by not reading his books. And death is the source of life's values, Hemingway also shows you. Has any writer in our times pursued life with more intensity? Remember the fishing and the wine in The Sun Also Rises, the love in Farewell to Arms and in To Have and Have Not, the great joy of simply fishing in Big Two-Hearted River, the short, happy passion of Jordan and Maria in For Whom the Bell Tolls. The life in Hemingway's books is tragic and beautiful, vivid and brief, there and soon not to be there. Look into your own life and, if you can, into the life of others. Is it not so?
Thank you, Dr. Webster. Our dramatization continues from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
Tell about a man. I rather like Macumba until today, but how is one to know about an American? I tried to make a break so I could eat by myself. Your buddy's sight easier than having to go through all this emotional trash. Safari gone to pot, all right. I tried to insult him and make a good clean break, and I could read a book with my meals and stick it out on a strictly formal basis and still be drinking their whiskey. I tried to insult him and make a clean break, and the beggar just apologized. Can't tell about Americans. Can't tell at all. Well, here comes Mem Saab.
And how is the beautiful red-faced Mr. Wilson? And are you feeling better, Francis, my pearl?
Much.
I've dropped the whole thing. I shan't think about it.
That's fine.
I say, should we sit down? The boy has lunch on.
After all, what importance is there to whether Francis is any good killing lions?
Please, Margot.
That's not his trade. That's Mr. Wilson's trade. Mr. Wilson is really very impressive, killing anything. You do kill anything, don't you?
Oh, absolutely anything. Matter of fact, we're going after Buff in the morning.
I'm coming.
No, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am. Mayn't I, Francis?
Why not stay in camp?
Not for anything. I wouldn't miss something like today for anything.
We'll put on another show for you tomorrow. You're not coming.
You're very mistaken. And I want so to see you perform again. You were lovely this morning. That is, if blowing off things' heads is lovely.
Eat your lunch, Margot. You're very merry, aren't you?
Why not? I didn't come out here to be dull.
Well, it hasn't been dull.
Oh, no, it's been charming.
All right, Margot.
And tomorrow, you don't know how I look forward to tomorrow.
Have some more of the meat, ma'am.
It isn't part of the lion.
No, you don't eat lion. That's eland.
Oh, they're the big cowy things that jump like rabbits, aren't they?
I suppose that describes them.
It's very good meat.
Did you shoot it, Francis?
Yes.
They're not dangerous, are they?
Only if they fall on you.
I'm so glad.
Why not dismount from your broomstick, Margot? Haven't we had a little too much haggery?
I suppose so, since you put it so prettily.
Tonight we'll have champagne for the lion.
Oh, the lion. I'd forgotten the lion.
Champagne, that's a great idea. Why not have it now? It'd give a lift to the whole day.
Oh, it's a bit too hot at noon.
No, we can use a little gaiety. Let's drink warm champagne in the light of the noonday sun.
I think we'd better save it.
I think Mr. Wilson is right, Francis. You must be finding it awfully warm, aren't you, dear?
They are the oddest women, really the oddest. When she went off to cry, she seemed a devilish fine woman. She seemed to understand, to realize, to be hurt for him. Now here she is, 20 minutes later, enameled in that American female cruelty. She is giving him a ride. Wait a minute, I don't know. You suppose that's her idea of putting up a good show? Well, how should a woman act when she discovers her husband's a bloody coward? She's cruel. They're all cruel. They govern, of course, and to govern, one has to be cruel sometimes. Still, I've seen enough of blasted terrorism. Well, that's the end of the champagne.
It was quite flat. Quite an appropriate ending to the day.
Hardships of a hunter.
Funny, it only tastes good out here after dark. Cooler.
Well, I'm going to bed.
You must be tired.
Yes. The excitement has me exhausted. Coming, Francis?
Just a moment.
Don't stay long. You couldn't sleep last night, you know. The roaring kept you awake.
You think we'll find Buffalo tomorrow?
A good chance of it.
That's fine.
They feed out early in the morning. With luck, we can catch them in the open. We've got to be careful, though. They're not like your American buffalo. They're fast and they're nasty. With horns 50 inches wide. And they like to use them.
They are dangerous, then.
Very.
I'd like to clear away that line business. It's not very pleasant to have your wife see you do something like that.
Oh, I wouldn't think about that anymore. There's no need to talk of it, you know. Anyone could be upset by his first line. It's all over.
I want to clear it away, though. You're sure we'll find buffalo?
Oh, we're pretty sure. There's a herd about here somewhere, and there's one old bull in particular with an excellent head.
Head?
That's right. Look fine on a wall. You always look fine on a wall. Well, good night.
Good night.
What were you talking about, Francis?
Buffalo.
Oh.
We're going after them in the morning.
Well, turn the lantern down, will you? I think there's a hole in the mosquito netting somewhere.
Just a minute.
What are you doing? Are those my sleeping tablets?
I'm borrowing a few.
Why?
You're very considerate.
I asked you a question.
You needn't worry. It wasn't an overdose.
Just enough to sleep on.
Just enough to sleep on.
You've never used them before.
It's those blasted noises, hyenas or jackals or whatever the devil they are.
Don't be afraid of noises, Francis. There are so many other things to be afraid of.
Leave me alone, Margot.
Leave you to listen to the animals?
Yes.
To hear them roar in the night?
All right, all right.
You'll be lying there tossing, hearing the roaring.
No, I won't. That's enough, Margot. I'm going to sleep now. Leave me alone.
Up late, Mr. Wilson?
Smoking. What brings you again?
You haven't a red face at night, Mr. Wilson. It's blue, a little green, and black.
The moonlight's funny up here.
It is. How many hunting trips have you been on?
I can't remember. Loads.
Always the sporty set? The international tennis players, the polo men, boat racers off for a change.
Yeah, most always. They pay best.
And the women?
Not bad. Rotten bringing up, most of them.
You're not tolerant, are you? You're not soft and flexible and tolerant, are you?
I expect not.
Well, neither am I. If I were, I wouldn't be out here to have a drink with you. The beautiful red face. Mr. Robert Wilson.
Margot, where have you been?
Hello. Are you awake?
Where have you been?
I just went out to get a breath of air.
Oh, the devil you did.
What do you want me to say, darling?
Where have you been?
Out to get a breath of air.
That's a new name for it. Oh, you are a hag.
Well, you're a coward.
All right, what of it?
Nothing, as far as I'm concerned. But please, let's not talk, darling, because I'm very sleepy.
You think I'll take that, but I'll take anything.
I know you will, sweet.
Well, I won't.
Please, darling, let's not talk. I'm so very sleepy.
There wasn't going to be any more of that. You promised there wouldn't be any more of your high-powered man fishing.
Well, there is, no.
You said if we made this trip, there wouldn't be. You promised.
Yes, darling. That's the way I meant it to be.
Well?
Well, the trip was spoiled yesterday. We don't have to talk about that beastly lion anymore, do we?
You don't wait long when you have an advantage,
please,
do you?
Please, let's not talk. I'm so sleepy, darling.
I'm going to talk.
Well, don't mind me then, because I'm going to sleep.
Sleep well?
Did you?
Topping.
I suppose breakfast isn't ready.
Right on the table.
Good morning, Mr. Wilson.
Ma'am?
Do you think we'll find buffalo?
There's a chance of it. Why didn't you stay in camp? Dangerous chaps, these buff. They're worse than lions, some people say. Give it a go by.
Not for anything.
Why not order her to stay in camp, Macomber?
You order her.
Oh, let's not have any ordering, Mr. Wilson. Nor any silliness, Francis.
pleasant-tempered this morning, eh, Margot? It's a refreshing change.
I've had the boys out scouting for buff. They spotted some not far off.
You ready to start?
Any time. Want Vince out to go?
Does it make any difference whether I do or not?
Why ask me?
I'd just like to know what you think.
No. Makes no difference.
You sure you wouldn't like to stay in camp with her yourself and let me go out and hunt the buffalo?
You'd probably find me useful out there. I wouldn't talk rot if I were you.
Rot, is it? Jealous husband doesn't fit very well in the jungle, does he?
Just what are you getting at?
Ask my wife.
Look, we're going to go on with this shoot. You'll have to stop this nonsense, you know.
This isn't nonsense. Oh, I'm disgusted.
Bad word, disgusted.
Francis, will you please try to speak sensibly?
What makes sense to me seems to be so much gibberish to you. I speak too blasted sensibly. This food isn't fit for swine.
Something wrong with the food?
No more than with everything else.
I pull yourself together, laddie buck. The boy at that table understands a lot more English than he shows.
Oh, the devil with him.
Well, I suppose that's the way it is. I'd better see about the car. Excuse me, Mensa.
Hi there, Congoni. Lola, look alive. Lady Motocari, Bunuki.
Francis, darling, if you make a scene, I'll leave you.
No, you won't.
You can try it and see.
You won't leave me.
No, I won't leave you, and you'll behave yourself.
Behave myself. That's a way to talk. Behave myself.
Yes, behave yourself.
Why don't you try behaving?
I've tried to so long, so very long.
I hate that red-faced swine. I loathe the sight of him. I've hated a great many men since I married you, Margot. When I hate Wilson the most of all, a red-faced pig.
He's really very nice.
Shut up.
Well, car's ready.
Going shooting?
Yes. Yes.
Better bring a jacket, then. It'll be cool in the car.
I'll get my leather one.
Well, the boy has it already. Will you be off? So that's the way it's going to be. Why doesn't he keep his wife where she belongs, then? What does he think I am? A plaster saint? Hope he doesn't take a notion to blow the back of my head off in the car, though. Fine morning. Dew smells like verbena, like a park in England. Hope we get those buff in the open. Don't want to get into thick cover with him again. Buff too blasted nasty anyway. Well, I'm a professional hunter. I suppose I'll have to. I won't bother with a woman again. Then maybe things will pick up. Poor beggar. He must have gone through plenty of that before by the look of it. Poor devil. Driver, look out for those warthog holes.
When do we get there, Mr. Wilson?
We'll be there. We'll rise in a minute. Here we go. Give me the field glasses, will you?
Yeah.
By heaven, there they are.
Buffalo?
There, over by the anthill. There they go.
It's too far for a shot, isn't it?
We'll have to head them off from that swamp. Idris!
When the pace is harder! Yabwana!
Hold on tight. We're passing in and out of warthogs the whole way over.
How many are there?
Three. Three big bulls. If we can cut them off, we'll have a chance with a lot of them.
They look big, don't they?
They are big. Look at those horns.
Oh, they're ugly.
Look out for that anthill. Take the big one first.
Well, there isn't any neck. I mean, it's all shoulders, isn't it?
Draw alongside. That's the way.
Oh, ought to be an easy shot. An easy shot.
Not from the car, you fool. He's got ya. Jump out, man. Now. Give it to him. Now. Hit again. He's down. Get the other one. He's running fast.
Where?
To the right.
I got him.
Yes. Lower, man. Lower.
I'm going to blast it.
I'll get one. There he goes.
How about the third?
Too far. Come on. We have to chase him. Gwenda, Pacey's on him. Jump from the running board. We'll catch him. Reloaded.
All set. No. It's jammed.
We're catching him now. Look at the figure go.
Jam's clear.
All right. This is close enough. Stop. Get a good shot. Now. You hit him. Again.
He won't go down.
I'll take a crack.
That's it.
Nice work. That's the three.
How many times did you shoot?
Only three. You killed the first bull, the big one. And I helped you finish the other two. Afraid they might have gotten into cover.
Oh, that was good shooting, wasn't it?
First rate. You had him killed. I was just mopping up a little. You shot bloody well.
Let's go back to the car. I want a drink.
Got to finish off this buff first. He's still moving. Yeah, come on.
An ugly beast, isn't he?
Yeah. Watch he doesn't get up. I get a little broadside. Take him in the neck. Just behind the ear.
Just behind the ear, huh? All right. Now.
That does it. Got the spine. Hey. Devilish looking animal, aren't they?
Let's get that drink now. Now we can celebrate, really celebrate. You know, Wilson, I feel good. I never felt this good in my whole life.
Like strong wine, eh?
Yes, like wine and sunlight and mountains and everything strong. Wilson, you don't know what this means to me. For a while, I was wounded. A part of me was carried off. Now I'm whole again. And I feel wonderful. Come on, let's go. Let's get that drink.
You were marvelous, darling. What a ride.
Was it rough?
It was frightful. I've never been more frightened in my life.
Let's all have a drink.
By all means.
The cap stuck. There. Here, Margot.
Mr. Wilson...
Thank you.
It was frightfully exciting. It's given me a dreadful headache.
Ooh. That's good whiskey. Pass, McCumber.
Thanks.
I didn't know you were allowed to shoot animals from cars.
No one shot them from cars.
I mean, chase them from cars.
Well, we wouldn't ordinarily, but it seemed sporting enough to me while we were doing it.
Sporting?
We took more chance driving that way across a plain full of holes and one thing and another than hunting them on foot. Buffalo could have charged us each time we shot if he liked. Well, I gave him every chance. I wouldn't mention it to anybody, though.
Bad form.
It's illegal, if that's what you mean.
It seemed very unfair to me, chasing those big helpless things in a motor car.
Did it?
What would happen if they heard about it in Nairobi?
I'd lose my license for one thing, another unpleasantness. I'd be out of business.
Really?
Yes, really.
Well, now she has something on you.
You have such a pretty way of putting things, Francis.
Lost a gun bearer, did you notice?
No, how'd it happen?
Oh, Congani. He must have fallen off when we left the first bull. Oh. Here he comes now.
Looks dejected, doesn't he?
Wana! The buff go to bush! Up and go to bush!
What's that? What does he mean?
Says the first bull got up and went into the bush.
Oh.
How exciting. Then it's going to be just like the lion.
It's not going to be a bloody bit like the lion. Want another drink, McCombe?
Thanks, yes. I don't think I need one.
Well, we go back and have a look at the second bull. Driver, get the car in the shade over there.
What are you going to do now?
Take a look at the second buffalo.
I'll come.
You got him clean. Takes a good shot to knock one down.
It didn't seem fair. About the car, I mean.
There he is over there. Very good head. He's close to a 50-inch spread.
He's hateful looking. Can't we go into the shade?
Of course, sir. Here, bring the car over, Congani.
He sees you.
Can't we go in the shade?
Well, you wait for the car, then we'll ride back. You see that patch of bush over there?
Yes.
Well, that's where the first bull went in. Gunbearer said the bull was down when he fell off. I suppose he just waited and then dragged himself into the bush.
He's in there now?
Just like the lion?
Just like the lion.
Can we go in after him now?
Want to go in now?
Yes.
No. We better give him a while.
Please, let's please go in the shade.
Well, here's the car. We can go over to that tree by the bush. Ma'am? All right. Over there, driver. Chances are that the buff's dead in there.
Oh?
After a while, we'll have a look.
By heaven, that was a chase. I've never felt any such feeling. You know, when the boy came up about the buffalo in the bush, I expected to feel like I did about the lion. But I didn't. It just didn't come. Wasn't it marvelous, Margot?
I hated it.
Why?
I hated it. I loathed it.
You know, Wilson, I don't think I'd ever be afraid of anything again.
No?
Well, something happened in me after we first saw the buffalo and started after him. It was like a dam bursting. It was pure excitement.
Cleans out your liver. Well, funny things happen to people.
You know, something did happen to me. I feel absolutely different.
I know.
You know, I'd like to try another lion. I'm really not afraid of them now. After all, what can they do to you?
That's it. Worst they can do is kill you. How does it go? Shakespeare, I mean. Some very good lines. I used to quote them to myself at one time to see if I can remember them. Oh, yeah. By my troth, I care not. A man can die but once. We owe God a death and let it go which way it will. He that dies this year is quick to the next. Good stuff, huh?
Do you feel that way? Do you have that sort of happiness about what's going to happen?
You're not supposed to mention it. It's much more fashionable to say you're scared. Mind you, you'll be scared too plenty of times.
But you have a feeling of happiness about action to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that. It doesn't do to talk too much about all this, you know. Talk the whole thing away. No pleasure in anything if you mouth it up too much.
You're both talking rot. Just because you've chased some helpless animals in a motor car, you talk like heroes. It's disgusting. Infantile and disgusting.
Sorry. I've been gassing too much.
If you don't know what we're talking about, why not keep out of it, Margot?
You've gotten awfully brave, awfully suddenly.
You know I have. I really have.
Isn't it sort of late?
Not for me.
I've seen men come of age before, and it's always something amazing. Took a sudden jump into action without time to worry about it beforehand to bring it about with Macumba. Look at the beggar now. Some of them stayed little boys all their lives, boys at 50. Strange. The great American boy men. Macumba's all right now, though. He's a fire eater now. I saw it the same way in the war. And the woman knows it, too. Bloody fair. Yeah, she knows it. But no change in me. But there is in him, and she knows it.
You think we might go in after the buffalo now?
Yes, we might have a look. You might as well shoot with the Springfield you're used to it. We leave the Manica in the car for Mem Saab. I'll take my big cannon.
Fine.
Now, when that buff comes, he'll come with his head high, so that the base of his horns covers any kind of a brain shot. Only shot is straight through the nose. After they've been hit once, they take the devil of a lot of killing.
I see.
Now, don't try anything fancy. Take the easiest shot there is. The nose, or wham, into the chest.
All right.
We've only got Kingoni. The others are keeping the birds off the dead bulls. Oh, here's the gun, Mimsar. Hold on, Rich.
Francis,
let's go, shall we?
Yes. Oh, here's where he went in. You see the blood spot, see? Careful now. Safety off.
Be right back, Margot.
Come on, Blangoni.
Dio buona.
Don't hear anything.
Can't be far, can he?
There, buona. There, on ground. Buff, dead.
Oh, yes, dear. Look, he's dead. Good work, Macumba.
It's been a fine day, eh, Wilson?
Look out! Look out! He's up! He's coming!
I've got him!
Lower! Lower! Now I'll try! Lower! You're cutting off horn! Again! I'll try for the shoulder! Get the nose!
I'll get it! I'm fine! I'm not afraid now! I'm not afraid!
That got him! That finished the beggar! Macumba! Macumba! I ducked to one side for a shoulder shot. Macumba stood solid and shot for the nose. And Mrs. Macumba and the car had shot at the buffalo with the 6.5 Mannlicher, as it seemed about to gore Macumba, and had hit her husband about 2 inches up and a little to one side of the base of his skull. Turn him over if I were. I'd get back in the car. Here's your rifle.
I got gun, buona.
Put it down, Congoni. And go and get Abdullah so he can witness the manner of the accident.
Dio, buona.
I suppose I ought to cover him up. A handkerchief will do. Well, bloody fine buffalo. He got it, too. He plugged it clean.
Yes, he's a fine bull. Good 50 inches or spread or better. Yes, better. Come on. Come on back to the car. You're lucky. He'd have left you.
Stop it.
He turned into a man, you know. Yeah, I guess you did know.
Stop it. I shot at the buffalo.
Oh, of course. It's an accident. I know that.
Stop it, will you?
Now, don't worry. There'll be a certain amount of unpleasantness. I'll have some photographs taken now. It'll be very useful at the inquest. There's the testimony of the gun bearers and the driver, too. You'll be perfectly all right.
Stop it!
There's a devil of a lot to be done. I'll have to send a truck off to the lake to wireless for a plane to take the three of us into my room.
Stop it!
All right, I'm through now. I was a little angry. You see, I've begun to like your husband.
Oh, please stop it. Please, please, please stop it.
That's better. Please is much better. Now I'll stop.
The curtain falls on the Ernest Hemingway work, The Short Happy Life of Francis McComber, the ninth in our series of dramatizations of outstanding works in modern Anglo-American fiction. The adaptation was written by Ernest Quinoy, and our star was Preston Foster, who will soon be seen starring in the Eagle Lion production, The Big Cat. Our intermission commentator was Dr. Harvey C. Webster of the University of Louisville. Included in the cast were Ramsey Hill as Wilson, Sarah Jane Wells as Margot, John Milton Kennedy as narrator, and Rolf Sedan and Earl Keane. Next week at this time, the NBC University Theater turns to the work of a distinguished British author, E.M. Forster, as we present a radio play based on his famous novel, A Passage to India. Productions of the NBC University Theater are currently being used in conjunction with college home study courses in Anglo-American fiction under NBC's National College by Radio plan. This plan permits NBC listeners to obtain college-supervised, organized education at home by means of radio listening and supplementary study. For full information about the authors and how to take advantage of this home study plan, which is currently being developed at the University of Louisville and elsewhere, send a penny postcard to College by Radio Courses, National Broadcasting Company, New York 20, New York. That's College by Radio Courses, National Broadcasting Company, New York 20, New York. Our production was directed by Andrew C. Love. Original music for The Short Happy Life of Francis McComber was composed by Albert Harris and directed by Henry Russell.
This program came to you from Hollywood. Here's another good reason to give thanks on Thanksgiving Day. 2 hours of the finest radio entertainment. Yes, 2 hours with Jack Benny, Jimmy Durante, Red Skelton, Gary Moore, the Mills Brothers, and many, many more. All on Holiday Star Time. Remember, Thanksgiving Day is Holiday Star Time on most of these NBC stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. I'll be back next Tuesday with The Whistler and The Avenger. In the meantime, there's more old-time radio at relicradio.com. Past episodes of this show, links to all the others, and links to everything else, like our forum, Shoutcast stream, Facebook page, and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, you can do so from the website. Thank you very much to those who have. Thank you for joining me today. I'll talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.